Welcome back to Voices of Today's Workforce. I'm your host, Melissa Sierra, Senior Vice President of a media agency and an Amazon bestselling author. My next guest is Todd Hauser. Todd is a seasoned media executive and featured keynote speaker in the automotive industry. Currently, while looking for his next opportunity, he is leading specialized consulting projects for agencies and auto clients as they look for help stewarding their business during the pandemic. Everyone, please welcome my next guest, Todd Hauser, to the show. Hi, Todd.
Hi, Melissa. How are you today?
Good, thanks. Welcome.
Good. Thank you.
For those people who don't know you, can you give a highlight reel of your career experience and what you're doing today?
I sure can. I've spent my entire career in the advertising space, basically 30 years worth. And most of it has been in the automotive advertising leadership side of teams working on, you know, in the automotive space, you have different tiers, tier 1, 2, and 3. And the majority of it was the tier 2 business, specifically working for brand clients, driving their message down and through retail with BBDO or Retail 3 or Agency 720 on Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, or Chevrolet business, if that sounds familiar to some listeners. And all over the country, different locations from Detroit originally, New York, Dallas, San Francisco, Orlando, and now I live in Atlanta. And then most recently, I worked with Comcast Spotlight, which was renamed Effective, as the Vice President of Automotive Sales and Strategy. And really, you know, my primary focus now is really trying to raise the auto acumen for media sellers and helping lead that digital transformation in the space.
It's an amazing career. And for those that don't know, Todd and I worked together on the Chevy Automotive Tier 2 business. And Todd, I've always admired your ability to steer the vision of your team and your willingness to champion innovative solution.
Well, thank you. I've considered myself to be a team first type of guy. Maybe it's my Midwestern roots, but, you know, being a servant leader to me is really important. It allows for the most collaborative approach, and it really creates buy-in for any team member. And for the people on the team, it allows them to let their guard down and contribute. And I found, Melissa, it's really the best way to get an honest assessment of what isn't working on assignments or within a team. So, you know, for me, I'm motivated to be better, open-minded, and curious. And, you know, my ability to steer the team vision is easier when you hire people with diverse skill sets, too. You know, their past business experiences could bring some new approaches that you haven't, frankly, thought of. So then with a diverse team, you know, empowered to share and asking them to visualize without any barriers, it really creates a very strong environment for success. And, you know, if we fail, we fail fast, we fail forward. So, you know, to me, the last key element for success, really for the leader, is to admit, you know, you can make mistakes and you have faults and you have blind spots. So I think that's what really fuels my curiosity to, you know, lead and steer a vision for a team.
I think that's great. You know, that's a big part of what's still missing in a lot of corporations today, unless you work for a media company, is having that level of transparency and collaboration at all levels coming to the table and inspiring the best in class work. You see it in new business pitches, but it tends to go away on the day-to-day work where it's absolutely necessary and critical. And I think for any recruiter that's out there that's listening to this, that would be an essential part of what Todd brings to the table, is knowing all the constituents, their vision, what motivates them, and how to get them to unite under one common thread to get the job done at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's really key, right, Melissa? It's like, how do you debate with different stakeholders without being debatable and find common ground?
Yep, especially in the auto world.
No doubt, yes.
And can you talk a little bit about any innovative solutions that you've worked on over the past few years? What kind of sparked your curiosity and had you bring those projects to life?
Yeah, so much of what happens in our space evolves so quickly. And so, you know, being at the forefront of change is really important. So, you know, working in the media space, and particularly, you know, focused on television is, you know, how do you apply some attribution and proof of performance? It's really a hot topic to, you know, validate the investment for marketers. So that's really a hot place to be right now, as well as the transformation in digital and in digital retailing, frankly.
Yes, definitely. I guess for anyone that's listening, you know, what is kind of stumbling upon in this pandemic is being challenged with different scenarios than they've been, you know, used to. Can you share a time when you showed up in an unfamiliar scenario or environment, stumbled your way through, but how did you grow from it?
Yeah, really, my last role at Comcast Spotlight was a new role to the organization. It was a newly invented role that they brought me in for, which was, you know, leading the automotive vertical sales and strategy, vision and alignment. So, you know, I had to draw up a strategy encouraging media sellers to evolve and transform themselves into the new digital world with new competitors that they were unfamiliar with, because most of the traditional media planners and buyers are really unaware of what's happening around them, because they're locked in a pretty standard process for transacting the business. So it was most certainly a business transformation that I visualized, but needed to build out a roadmap for, and how to get there with multiple stakeholders and departments across the organization. And so it being a new role to the company meant I wasn't handed a blueprint. So obviously my leadership approach with we just talked about allowed me to win, to fail, to revise and try again. So it's very unfamiliar. It's funny because I look back at my notes on my very first month on the job, and my vision and direction at that point versus a year or 2 years later, how it really changed and evolved. So it's proof that none of us have all the answers, and adaptation and being okay with change is critical in any situation.
I think that's a great point. And I think a lot of times when you have a new department or new role, there's a rush to get out and sell without understanding how to educate, inform, and figure out the pain points. So can you talk maybe a little bit more about your discovery process through that?
Yeah, well, again, it goes back to being very curious, mm-hmm. And being open-minded as a servant leader to the people around you, because you really need to understand what kind of environment you walked into. Even though you are brought in because of your expertise and your transferable skill set, you have to be respectful and recognize that there are processes in place and there are strong beliefs and feelings, and you have to understand the landscape around you and who really is driving the direction at the moment, and how to get buy-in if you're suggesting a course correction along the way. So, you know, I think that is a huge part of it, is really trying to understand the landscape of the company you go into. Otherwise, you start creating, you know, cultural differences that the company or the people in the company aren't ready to adopt just yet.
I think that level of prime emotional intelligence that you have goes a long way, because I think it's easy to just make gut decisions and work on the fly and be adaptable. But if you are remiss in that part of really taking in your environment and moving forward, you could be the smartest person in the room and it's not going to go that far either.
And it's really interesting to see how the messaging and direction gets lost in translation as you move either vertically, you know, down through an organization, or the messaging back up,
right,
that you're hearing from the people that are literally client facing or on the streets, their interpretation of what you're trying to accomplish, as well as, you know, horizontally across different channels or departments, you know, their twist on it, maybe to fit a different narrative. So yeah, like you said, the emotional intelligence to realize it's like, I think everyone wants the same goal. You hope everyone wants the same goal in the organization. And if you start at that point, then it's about trying to, you know, sit down and find commonality and not get too locked into some real hardcore cultural differences that can really derail, you know, the assignment or the organization.
Absolutely. So I know in January you were asked to speak at Matrix Solutions Media Ad Sales Summit, and recently at Cox Media Leadership Summit as well. Can you talk a little bit about the topics that you were focusing on?
Sure. Well, as you can imagine, in January, my insights were much different than today, for sure. But, many media veterans are heavily reliant on the automotive vertical from an advertising expenditure perspective. It's typically, the number one or two revenue stream within any media organization. But there's been so much change with respects to digital and data, where technology companies have solutions looking at automotive spending as a revenue stream for their own technology stack that have moved into the space. So it's eye-opening to those people and have been in the media space for a long time when they hear about just the complexity of the automotive ecosystem with its tiers and its different funding models and its different stakeholders. And there is really a need to dig deeper in the space and have people have an expertise there. How the 30-year-old business model, when you think about, how media is being transacted with cost for points and added value and demos, how that's changed, and it needs to change after 30 years to be more about the data-enabled audience focus and proof of performance with attribution model, similar to the tools that the digital companies have brought to the forefront over the last 5 to 8 years. Television, media properties have evolved just the same. So that's been a big discussion point for the last year or so in the media community, is how do we make that that step forward with clients to see that all of it's become much more equal in the space between the digital side and the television side. That was in January. But most recently, the conversation has changed to what the auto industry expectations look like post COVID-19. And I'm just a believer that there's a couple different silver linings around this crisis. Certainly, not downplaying the effect it's had on everybody, but the change of automotive to digital retailing to be much closer to an e-commerce experience is really, really a hot topic right now, and how media sellers need to evolve from vendors to consultants as well. So you have one side of, automotive marketing, which is so reliant on people physically vi visiting a dealership, how quickly it's needed to change almost overnight. And then where do the media consultants and the community play a role in that? So it's an exciting time of change that, the whole community and the automotive marketing community has needed. And other verticals have done it. So it's time for, the media currency to be reevaluated, the service models to progress into what this post COVID-19 world looks like, which is going to be more of a remoteless, touchless experience, heavily driven by digital. So.
I love that you're at the forefront of these conversations and you don't shy away from the unknown. I think it's really easy during this pandemic to start to doubt your skills or to have a fear of the unknown. And I think that the passion that's always been innate in you, the expertise in the automotive industry for so many years, really shines through, and it's never pushed away your ability to adapt and move forward. And like you said before, even with your leadership of teams, to move fast, fall fast, and keep up and keep moving forward to what your vision is and the outcomes that you want to see happen.
Definitely. I mean, the automotive industry always was a speed of retail, almost fly by the seat of your pants type, 30-day window all the time. And now with this, now with media evolving so fast, around it, you're going to see more automotive retailers dig in deeper. I mean, most of them know, can recite to you how many cars they have sold out for the month, how many service requests they have, what their payroll looks like, what incentives are. But most of them really have not got a handle on where their marketing dollars are being invested in and what. So it just feels like that whole area of the business is going to change pretty quickly.
Definitely. What do you think the lessons are for you over the past few weeks during these intense times?
The fragility of our lives. I mean, not to get to, make this about, you know, it's sort of some existential type crisis, but, you know, I don't think many believed one singular incident would completely unravel our personal and professional lives literally overnight, right? I mean, within a few days, 99% of the world began working remotely.
Right.
99% of the United States began to homeschool and learn how to do that. And move to online grocery shopping overnight. So to me, I think the major lesson there, Melissa, is adaptability. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to take a moment to think about how we've seriously adjusted our lives, our work, our shopping habits, and really apply that to a new vision for our future. Say, hey, look, I mean, it was a tremendous change, but it can be done when it necessitates it. So don't be afraid to look at other aspects of your life and make the necessary changes as well.
I think that's great advice. For you, what does moving forward look like for Todd?
Well, for me, I think it's, you know, reinventing myself is necessary. You know, it's healthy to imagine a new job and a new venture into the unknown. You know, so much of the strategic vision I stood up at Comcast is now being realized in a post-coronavirus world, which is neat to see. The evolution of digital retailing in the automotive marketing sector is something I look forward to being a part of. You know, a need for agencies to reinvent how the business is transacted, you know, as well as moving into the data-driven world. So I sort of see myself playing that role of helping usher in the new era for marketing and media companies, you know, because it's now happening. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on projects for media companies and agencies to help their teams, you know, traverse this new landscape and reinvent themselves into the business model that really creates value in the 2020 world. So I've, you know, been working at doing some consulting work with various companies in the space.
That's great. Because as you said, they're going to need a lot of emerging leaders that are going to want to take a stronghold over guiding where things end up being and charting the path mm-hmm. through the unknown. And I think that a lot of people tend to shy away from that opportunity, but I think a lot of emerging leaders in different facets can come to the table when you choose to rise up to that occasion.
Right, right.
And when you think about moving forward to your next opportunity, how do you organize your week to be structured and keep motivated towards a better tomorrow?
Yeah, so it's interesting because this is my first time in a career transition, Melissa. So heading into this, I was very mindful of my past routines and how I need to create a new schedule instead of waiting for daily events to create my schedule for me. Mm-hmm. You know, being home is difficult, and I can't imagine how complex and overwhelming it is for single working moms out there needing to homeschool as well without any assistance. So, you know, with that example in mind, you know, I try to remember that my situation isn't as difficult as others. You know, I have my health and I have a family support system that allows me to treat every weekday as if it's a work day still. So now my quote unquote work day is determining what fulfills me professionally, how to curate my work experience and persona into a resume, and then build a plan to seek companies that I can bring value to. So some people like to say, quote unquote, I'm looking for a job, but I prefer to think of my new job as an assessment of my career arc and finding a positive next step forward with the right company and the right opportunity.
I think that's really great advice for anyone out there that's looking for their next opportunity. How do you structure the building blocks for what it is that you want? And a lot of times we don't get that opportunity to think about our next move. We either get thrust into it or there's a necessity that kind of dictates it. But now's the chance to really figure out where your passion lies in a new 2.0 stage. But also, what is it that the market needs and rising to that occasion to push yourself out of a comfort zone?
Definitely. And, you know, Melissa, I was really, really impressed with how many incredible resources there are online, either via LinkedIn Learning or just so many companies and people out there willing to create YouTube videos on how to build a better resume or tricks and tips around LinkedIn, and just people willing to help. So, you know, the key is not to feel overwhelmed and take a second to really look back and try to define your transferable skills. But again, it's like there's so many resources online for YouTube University, if you will. And you just need to take some time to you know, dig into that.
Perfect. So before we leave, in a few words for the recruiters that might be listening, how would you describe yourself, Todd?
Well, I would have to say that I'm passionate about the business. Definitely feel that, you know, my experience around different aspects of the industry can bring something forward to any vertical. It doesn't even have to be automotive, but just what's happening in the space that, you know, I really feel strongly in how to stand up the right culture and do business the right way. So I think that, you know, from my perspective about me, you're going to get somebody that really truly is a team player and will represent the company in a manner that any client will see, you know, that a great extension of the company that they bought into.
I agree with that. We've seen Todd on the stage multiple times, leading meetings, leading teams. It's a great thing to experience and watch and be a part of. And so I'd like to vouch for that too, for any recruiters out there. And I know there's a lot of people, colleagues that would stand up for Todd as well and second that motion as well.
Appreciate that, Melissa.
Of course. So if anyone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, so it's easy to find me on LinkedIn, Todd Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R. And obviously you can email me or call me. I mean, email's toddahauser@gmail.com and my number is 770-688-0266.
Wonderful. Well, everybody make Todd's phone ring and reach out to him. You won't be disappointed by what he brings to the table. And even if it's some projects that he can help you out with, let's get him going.
I appreciate it, Melissa.
Absolutely. Great talking with you.
You too. Thanks.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed my interview today with Todd. If you know of any opportunities he'd be a great fit for, please reach out to him. And of course, as always, if you like this episode, please comment, share, and like this podcast.